We see time and time again where there's a toxic culture, people don't trust their leaderships, and that's what it really boils down to. The Navy is really pushing this idea that we want sailors to be warriors, we want sailors to be tough, we want sailors to be resilient. All these great buzzwords, but the problem is resilience means you have the ability to bounce back from a difficult situation. But if you give the sailor nowhere to bounce back to, if the sailor's down, he's not going to want to bounce back and go to a work center that's toxic, or where his LPO has been riding him like Seabiscuit, or where he can't get a break, or anytime he asks for an off day, it's hell and high water just to ask for something. And so the problem is when your sailors don't trust you as a leader, they start looking for answers elsewhere. They start looking for answers outside of home. And at that point, you've lost the sailor.
Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations. Hey everyone, thank you so much for coming back for another episode of Your Story Doesn't End Here. Today's guest is Brandon. Brandon L. Brown is an active duty chief with 17 years of naval service. By trade, he's an aviation boatswain's mate equipment, but he has had a diverse career. His career milestones include the USS Ronald Reagan, Navy Recruiting District Philadelphia, USS Carl Vinson, and Navy Personnel Command in Millington, Tennessee, where he served as the Enlisted to Officer Commissioning Special Programs Detailer and the Base Suicide Prevention Program Manager. Brandon currently serves as a senior enlisted leader at NITC, Navy Instructor Training Course at Learning Site Corey Station in Pensacola, Florida. Outside of wearing his uniform, Brandon is an advocate for military mental health. And while serving, he became a licensed clinically trained marriage and family therapist. This led him to establish the Sailor Wellness and Development Company. Brandon has been honored by the State of California Senate for his work in one of San Diego's leading nonprofit hospices. He has been a keynote speaker for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And additionally, he has had the privilege of helping to mold the next generation of counselors by being the guest speaker for Delta State University's counseling program students. Brandon welcomes all opportunities to help improve sailors' quality of life and mental health. Brandon, I want to just thank you for doing what you do, because there's not a lot of chiefs that we find in the Navy today that are so passionate about mental health that they're taking it that step further. So thank you so much for what you do. And thank you also for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Rachel. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am going to pass it off to you to share your story, because I'm super curious to know what it was that led you to what you're doing today. But I also just want to hear more about you and your background.
Okay. My background, I grew up, I was born in Baltimore. I lived there for like my early childhood. Then I wind up moving to Philadelphia, like early elementary school. And we moved there because, like I said, my family, like, kind of situation wasn't really the best growing up. Unfortunately, both of my parents like really struggled with like narcotic use. And so when I lived in Baltimore, I grew up with my grandma, and my mom was at a treatment center in Philadelphia. And then ultimately they said, once things got better with her, she decided that she wanted to move us to Philly. And so that's how Philadelphia raised me. And so I kind of grew up there until it was time for me to get ready to transition into adulthood. And I moved back to Baltimore for a brief period of time. And then that's when I joined the Navy. And from there, I kind of been traveling around all over. I think I would like to say that I call San Diego my adult home, because it was like the first place that I lived at on my own outside of, from being with my immediate family. And I was there 10 years on and off. And, I still get back there from time to time. But it's kind of how I got started as far as like, my background, as far as like, home and then getting transitioned into the military. I joined the Navy in 2005. And when I joined the Navy, I joined with five of my other friends. We actually all joined on the buddy program, and we joined out of the buddy program, and then we served boot camp, and then after boot camp, we all got split up and went our separate ways. But strangely enough, some almost 18 years now. We are still the best of friends, still in contact. Our kids actually have grown up together now. So, they say that it's one of the things that people like about the military is like the relationships that you have with the people around you. And I am a living testament to that, that you can actually find some awesome people in the military and really call friends that actually become family. And you do life together. But that's kind of like my military story by far. It's like how I joined the military. And I just really just been traveling all over, living life ever since.
That's amazing. And it's always cool to hear the success stories from people that could have gone anyway, especially growing up in an environment where there was drug use somewhere in their story, right? I mean, you could have gone anyway. So it's really cool to see that you're now in a position where you are able to help so many people, not only in the military, but with something outside of the military, which is the mental health piece. I think that embodies so much more than just the military. That's like a whole person well-being type thing. And so, what got you so passionate about mental health that you took it the step further to not only get the education, but also establish a program to help other sailors?
I'll tell you, Rachel, it's going to be the wildest story ever, and you—it's hard to believe, but I promise you that this happened to me. I was a second class, and I was working in Philadelphia as a recruiter, and so I was getting ready to lock up my office for the night. I was getting ready to head home, and as I was locking up my office, mind you, was in downtown Philadelphia by City Hall. And so I'm getting ready to lock up my office, and this woman stops me. She goes, "Excuse me, sir. What is your name?" I said, "Petty Officer Brown. How can I help you?" She goes, "Well, I need your help. I'm looking to put my son into the Navy, and he's been interested in the military, and I really want to get him in here so you can help him join." I said, "Okay, cool." I said, "If you want your son to join the Navy, let's get together sometime this week or whenever you have availability, and let's get him in." And we schedule an appointment. And her son, a couple of days later, came to the office, and he comes in, and she brings him in. She goes, "Hey, Petty Officer Brown, this is my son, like I was telling you about." And I looked at her son, and his face looked like, "I'd rather be anywhere but in your office." And so he sits down, and so I started to talk to him. I said, "Hey, Petty Officer Brown, nice to meet you. What kind of programs are you interested in? Your mom told me so much about you. What kind of things are you interested in? Why are you looking to join the Navy?" And his mom, as soon as I asked him that, she put a hand on his shoulder and said, "He's interested in whatever programs you have available." I said, "Oh, okay, cool." I said, "So let me get to know a little bit more about you. Like, what's your background? What kind of jobs are you interested in? Is there something that you specifically want to do? What's your reason for joining?" And he goes, "She again, he wants to join because he's looking for opportunities after high school." Mind you, I've been asking this kid questions, and he's never said a single word at this point. And so, soon after that, the mom's phone rings and she goes, "Oh, I need to take this phone call outside." She stepped outside the office and I asked the kid, I said, "Hey, what's the deal? Do you really want to join the Navy? Because I've been talking to you this whole time and you haven't said a single word." And he goes, "No, I don't want to join the Navy." I said, "Then why did your mom bring you here?" And he goes, "Well, to be honest with you, my mom wants me to join the Navy because she doesn't want me to end up like my brother. My brother died last year, and she doesn't lose another son to the streets. My dad has never been around, and she really feels like if I join the Navy, it's going to help me to grow up and to become a man." And so I said, "So just so I'm clear, you don't want to join the Navy." And he goes, "No, I'm not interested in joining the Navy." And so at that moment, I was like really left with this decision to make. As a recruiter, they train you that no matter what somebody comes into your office with, if they want education, they want to travel the world, they need a family, they want friends, the answer is the Navy, no matter what it is. And I felt so convicted in that moment that if I tried to push this kid into the Navy and I know that he doesn't want to join the Navy, that's going to do somebody else a disservice along the way. And I realized, like I said, this family is hurting. The mom obviously wants her son to become a man. This kid wants to do something to make his mom proud, but at the end of the day, if I push him into the Navy, that's not going to help this situation. And so at this point, the mom walks back into the office and she goes, "All right, so where were we?" And I said, "Unfortunately, ma'am, at this time, your son doesn't qualify for naval service." And she said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Your son isn't qualified to join the Navy." And she said, "Are you rejecting my son?" And I said, "No, I'm not rejecting your son. I'm just saying at this time he doesn't qualify for the Navy. Like, I can't believe this. You're rejecting my son. I'm a congresswoman and I do all this." And I probably should have mentioned that earlier. This woman, she's a congresswoman. If I didn't mention that earlier, she literally worked downtown as a representative for Philadelphia, and for the state. And so she's like, "I can't believe you're disqualifying my son." And I was just trying to calm her down because she was literally living, using some few choice F words in my office. And I was just like, "Okay, ma'am, you know." And I saw the relief in his face. She was upset, but he looked relieved. And so she took him, snatched him up the office, and they left. And at that moment, like I said, I realized, like, I wanted to help that family. But I was just a Navy recruiter. I didn't have any credentials to say that this you're you know this guy's missing his father. You know, the relationship with his dad is kind of like the catalyst for all of this, but it doesn't have to be this way. You know, I couldn't say anything like that because, again, just a Navy recruiter. You know, who's gonna listen to me? And so maybe a week later went had gone by, and then I was going into my office and I heard somebody like screaming my name off the street, like, "Hey, Petty Officer Brown. Guess what?" And it's the congresswoman again. She said, "You rejected my son, but guess what? He's got a better job with the city and making more money than the Navy will ever pay you." And I was like, "Congratulations." You know, I guess, you know, she thought she was insulting me or something like that. And I was just like, "This, I'm happy for you and your family. I'm glad that you're proud of him and he got a job that he's actually happy with having." And so shortly after that, I told myself that, you know, I think, you know, helping families, you know, it's probably going to be my calling. And so I started looking at some different programs. And I initially went the psychology route, and I was doing a psychology program for a little bit. And then I realized that you can't practice as a psychologist until you become a doctor. I was like, "Well, I want to do a little bit something before." And one of a school counselors shared with me, like, "Hey, maybe you might want to consider the marriage and family therapy program." And so, and that's what I did. As a second class, I literally started working on my master's degree as a marriage and family therapist. Mind you, I didn't have any counseling credentials prior to this. I've never worked in the counseling field prior to this. I literally took the plunge and jumped into this master's program with no prior experience. My bachelor's degree is in aviation technology, so that's completely different field. And so I literally jumped off the diving board into this program, and I've actually loved it. Like I said, it's been a long journey. I was ashamed of this for a while, but it took me almost 7 years to get my master's degree and to complete my therapy program. And that was because I was literally doing it between deployments. Like, I would go on deployment, and sometimes I even tried to take classes while on deployment. They would say, "Well, we have internet out to sea," and come to find out the internet wouldn't be the best. And I would literally fail whole semesters because not being able to get papers turned in. So I would have to redo semesters when I came home, get back at it again, trying little by little. And then with being a therapist, you have to do what they call a residency, where you have to do like an in-person portion. Everything isn't just online. You have to literally go in and work with people and show that you can literally do the job. And so just doing it little by little, and it literally the journey took me 7 years to get my master's degree. And I realized in the process of, though the journey was long, I gained so much experience along the way that when I was an intern, but because I by the time I got to working in the clinics, I had developed so much skill sets that I gained from volunteering or just doing different things along the way, that when I became an intern and I was working around licensed therapists and counselors, and we would do like be debriefing clients and, you know, trying to figure out how we can best serve families. People leaning heavily on me, like, "Well, Frank, what do you think? You know, you have experience doing X, Y, and Z." Like, I don't even have a license yet. And they're just leaning on my lively experience, because the problem was, you have a lot of these counselors and these therapists that literally get out of high school and just go straight to college because they know that this is what they want to do. But and that's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is, in the end, they don't really have any lively experience. And so here I am at this point, finish about 15, 16 years of working with sailors and families from around the world doing different programs, just volunteering my time so I can get that experience. And here I have this wealth of knowledge and experience. And the only thing I'm missing at this point is just my license. And now, I eventually would get that. And like I said, it's just been really a rewarding journey. And I think the military mental health advocacy piece came in is when I really saw and I really had to acknowledge that there was something going on much deeper than the Navy wanted to admit what's going on with sailors. And I had to do some personal reflection first, because I realized me and one of my buddies were talking about deployment. Had done seven deployments, and every time deployment was about to be over, everyone was excited that they were coming home. But I felt so sad and broken inside. Like I was glad to be coming home, but on the inside, I was in shambles because I didn't know what I was going to do. Like if I once I get back, how am I going to life? How am I going to do adulting again? I'm like shaking. I'm nervous. Like I'm not sure if I can be in my barracks room by myself. I don't know what's going to happen because literally for the last 7, 10 months, I've been around people every waking moment for the last 10 months. And now you want me to go and be by myself. And it was scary to me. And I didn't really realize that the feelings that I was having, that I was afraid to be alone. I didn't trust myself to be by myself. And I didn't really know how to explain that to somebody because you tell somebody that, oh, you're getting ready to come home from deployment, but you're scared to come home. Like, are you crazy? You're going home. What are you upset about? What's going on with you? Why are you thinking like this? And I felt like, I just internally kept it inside that, something was just wrong with me. But it wasn't until I got to a quiet place and I really started talking with myself and just was being honest about the things that I was going through. More than that, I saw the other things that the sailors were going through around me, and I realized that these sailors didn't know how to speak up for themselves. And me, I've always been the type of person like I don't give a damn. I'm gonna say what needs to be said. It might be the big elephant in the room. Like I always people used to joke on me about, you're the person that says what everybody was thinking. It's just like I'll say it, like, because it needs to be said. Because at this point, if I don't say it, we won't get beyond this. And so if I have to be that guy, I'll just be that guy. But that's kind of how I got into this place today, as far as like, really advocating for sailors and mental health, because I realized that this invisible enemy that we're fighting, and this is just my opinion, this doesn't reflect on the Navy or anything like that. I really don't think the Navy has really gotten the handle on how to get this mental health thing under control. And in order for us to really get it under control, I think we really have to take an honest look at what's happening. And until we do that, then we're going to be circling the wagons.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not to say that there hasn't been things that have been helpful, the Navy. I mean, the Brandon Act, I believe, is what it's called. It was just passed. And I think
Yes.
that's a step in the right direction. And I think that it's hard for the highest leaders in the military to understand what it's like to be at the lowest level. And I think that's where the disconnect really lies. I think that, the E1 is never going to be comfortable to raise their hand and tell a commander or, the MCPON or the CNO. I can't say never because I was a lower enlisted and I was that outspoken person that raised my hand and said, MCPON, there's an issue. But most people aren't. Most people. And I'm sure you've seen this before, the CNO or someone higher up comes to a base and all the little commands are briefing the junior sailor. They send specific people, first of all, at least my command did. They only sent very specific people, and they made sure that any questions that were asked were passed through the chain of command at the command before being asked to that very high-ranking individual, which to me kind of defeats the purpose, right? Because we saw this with the hair issue with black females and wearing locks in their hair years ago wasn't allowed, and in not directly mental health related, but for some people, yeah, directly mental health related, they couldn't speak up and just say that without someone making a big deal out of it. Mental health, people speak up over and over and over to chains of command and hires up and, you know, try to say like, hey, there's a problem, there's a crisis, what do we do? And you know, I think that we try to pass legislation from a higher standpoint to make it better, but it's not really fixing that culture aspect. And that's where I really like to focus, is that culture aspect, because you can pass laws and trainings all day, but at the end of the day, until we change the culture, it doesn't fix anything. But I really, really love your concept with the Sailor Wellness and Development Program that you cultivated, because I think it's what the military really needs. And so I'd love for you to just touch more on that, what it is, what it's about. I know you're currently doing a little bit of market research right now too. I don't know if you're still doing that. But yeah, just talk to us more about that.
Okay, so the Sailor Wellness and Development Company, I found it in an effort to really help sailors across the complete spectrum or continuum of their service. And our mission is redefining leadership, and that, or redefining taking care of sailors, and that's from MEPS to veteran. So redefining taking care of sailors from MEPS to veteran, and literally just from that spectrum, from that time that the sailor assesses into the military, even after they become a veteran, we can be an advocate or a voice for them to help them through the various stages and the things that they're going through. Because sailors, just like being a sailor, is almost like growing up, just like a life cycle. You go from being this infant to being this senior, crusty person, and it's just like you, this old salt, until the point where you transition into the sunset, and now you become a veteran. And that's a whole cycle, and we all have different needs at those different places in our career, whether we decided to just do 4 years and get out, or we decided to make it a lifetime thing. We are all connected together in some way, shape, form. And I think when I initially started the whole idea of the Sailor Wellness and Development Company, it was a platform to really advocate for the first classes, because I felt like first class petty officers were the really underutilized and looked over resource in the Navy. First classes are really like your frontline resource in the Navy. When you check on board to the Navy, when you go to your first shop or your work center, you meet your LPO. Your LPO is typically a first class. Depending on how your first class feels about the Navy, their life, and the things they got going on, is typically what's going to get handed down to you. Whether they feel like the Navy is a great place, you're going to have a good experience. If your first class is salty, hating life, guess what? You're going to find out immediately that, you know, this isn't the place that you want to be. This isn't the kind of experiences that you're looking for to, or to have, you know, while you're going to be on this ship. And I know for me, my first command was 5 years, and so I could only imagine. I was thankful that my very first command was like love. It was like a family-oriented environment, and that really that helped me get through those 5 years. And unfortunately, I thought that the rest of the Navy was going to be like that. And then I checked into other ships, and I was just like, wait a minute, what is going on here? Because I've literally checked into places, I've checked into a command as a first class, and I had other first classes telling me that we don't need you here. We're not looking for any new help. You know, you're first class, you can figure it out on your own, and literally like threw me to the wolves. And so I realized that, you know, looking back, that just wasn't on them, but that was the culture of the command at that point. And I realized that a lot of first classes are in a place where they've been forced to either, you know, competition is good, but when the competition becomes cutthroat, that's when the culture becomes toxic. And once the culture becomes toxic, it's just like, you know, the command is gone at that point. You know, we do these command culture or command climate surveys, I want to say, the command climate survey, to figure out what's going on, because it lets the CO, XO, and CMC know what's going on at the command. And sometimes we don't find out, you know, the heart of what's really going on, because a lot of people are, number one, afraid to voice their thoughts or their opinion, or they don't want to get found out. But for the ones that do, they'll put the things in there, you know, that are really the hard-hitting issues. But at that point, in my opinion, it's too late at that point. If we had to wait for the climate survey to come out to really address, to try to deroute an issue that's going on in command, you know, it's just, it's, the issue is too far gone at that point. And we see time and time again where there's a toxic culture, people don't trust their leaderships, and that's what it really boils down to. The Navy is really pushing this 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 idea that we want sailors to be warriors, we want sailors to be tough, we want sailors to be resilient, all these great buzzwords. But the problem is, resilience means you have the ability to bounce back from a difficult situation. But if you give the sailor nowhere to bounce back to, if the sailor's down, he's not going to want to bounce back and go to a work center that's toxic, or where his LPO has been riding him like Seabiscuit, or where he can't get a break, or anytime he asks for an off day, it's hell and high water just to ask for something. And so the problem is, when your sailors don't trust you as a leader, they start looking for answers elsewhere. They start looking for answers outside of home. And at that point, you've lost the sailors. So just my idea.
Absolutely. So talk us through, say someone wanted to utilize your program, what you have. Is it something that they would get like a mentor? Like, talk us through what it is, how it helps sailors. Is it for people that are only active duty? What are the, I guess, the specifics of the program?
Okay, so this what we're initially launching right now, we're trying to get this thing up and going in June, where we officially launch. And what it is initially going to be in the beginning is just information regarding mental health and helping sailors with just the ideas of working through mental health problems, or even personal development. So we're going to be hitting on both, because mental health and wellness isn't just an at work kind of thing. It's both home, work, and all the different facets of life. And so we're going to be talking about those to help make the sailor whole. And this is what is going to be literally a holistic approach to helping sailors. So for whether it be for those that want to stay in or get out, and again, like I said, we are the initial focus is going to be on the mental health and like holistic wellness. And so in the beginning, we're just going to be putting information out there and just trying to really build support and have people, follow us and interact and engage with us. And then later on, towards the end of the year, we have some books and programs coming out, and then we will ultimately have a membership program online that if people are looking to get that one-on-one mentorship or leadership development, that you'll have the opportunity to do that, because we have a new program specifically for the second class and first class that really wants to work on leadership development and being that that first class that can be a leader, but also is inclined with mental health tools and resources to kind of arm them with those things, so they'll know what to look for when they're interacting with their sailors. Because we find that a lot of times people think that once you become a chief, once you put on khaki pants, then you get the magical powers and you go from everything that you wanted to be from when you were first class, that it's all going to change once you pull up those khaki pants. And that the truth of the matter is, who you were as the first class is the same person you're going to be when you are a chief. If you didn't have a heart or a passion for helping your sailors, that doesn't automatically happen when you become a chief. And I'll be the first to tell people that, if you don't have a heart for your sailors, it's going to show. It's going to show time and time again. And unfortunately, it's the sailors are watching. And what happens is, when one chief does something bad, we all get a bad rep. And it's just like, I hear it all the time from sailors. You know how y'all do in the mess. I'm just like, okay, I'm not here to tear down your walls, or to fight for the chief's mess, because I obviously see that at some point in time that you've had a negative interaction with the chief, and I can see that. But and that's ultimately what it's all about. Just so again, in the beginning, we're going to launch, like I said, just content and material to let people know who we are and what we're doing, and try to build a following. And then we have some books and leadership programs that we will have online toward the end of the year. And then, like I said, the mentorship programs with the membership program that we're launching. And so, like I said, we're kind of doing it in staggered tiers, just to kind of get this thing underway, to build some momentum and build following, and really like have these sailors back. Because, like I said, there are a lot of sailors out here that feel like that no one cares about them, no one's thinking about their mental health. I launched a survey, and I put it out there, and we had so many people reach out back and say that they can't trust their chain of command. They don't feel like that anybody's listening to them. They're struggling financially, but they're embarrassed to tell somebody that they don't feel like they're making enough money. And it's just time and time again, people don't feel like they're heard, or they don't trust anyone enough to kind of make their concerns known. And so the problem is when, someone doesn't trust their chain of command and issues start to mount up, it's just like that when people's back are against the wall, they really have that fight or flight response. And we don't want to get people to get to the place where they feel like they're alone, they're by themselves, no one's going to understand that this issue is just on me and on me only. If I can't figure it out, it won't ever get figured out. That's when we start getting to that space of suicidal ideation, and that's where we're trying to stop people from going ultimately.
I love that. And I love that you have a emphasis on personal development as well, because I think it's not talked about enough in the military. And I think a lot of people just don't know where to start. And having a starting point, personal development has blown up over the last few years. And I mean, everyone's got a program, right? But it not everyone's program is geared specifically towards what someone in the military might need. So I think it's cool that you're starting with those resources to just give people a direction or a starting point or something. Something to know that, hey, this is a place where you can start. These are people that care about you. And then also, I think you are in a very unique position as a chief in the Navy because there is such a distrust of the chief's mess. I hear it all the time. I've heard it from guests. I heard it when I was in. I was one of those people that didn't trust a lot of people in the chief's mess too. I mean, I get it. But I think you hold such a unique position to be able to start. It's a start, something, a drop in the ocean to say, hey, not every member of the chief's mess is toxic. Not everyone has an old school mentality. There are people out there in the chief's mess that are trying to legitimately make a change and legitimately care about changing not only the mental health of the sailors, but giving them the resources and making sure that this is something that can continue beyond your service, because this is something that is way, way bigger than you. So I think that's phenomenal. Have you gotten any sort of response from the immediate people and your command or the people that you're around with what you're doing? Have you gotten, like a positive response, or has anything been, have you seen anything come out of this so far? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yes, absolutely. I've seen people have rallied around and offered their support and resources. Like I said, this year has been a year. I'll tell you, one of the things that I struggled with was asking for help for a long time, or reaching out to people and saying, hey, I don't have it all figured out. Can you help me with this, or lend a hand there? And I think this project is one of the culmination of me getting beyond myself and realizing that the impact of helping these sailors, or kind of pushing the needle on mental health, is, like I said, this is beyond me. So I've really taken the charge of reaching out to people online, LinkedIn, Instagram, whoever will listen. I've been fortunate enough that my command is very much supportive of what I'm doing, and helping out as best they can. And I've had brothers and sisters and people throughout the fleet, and even other branches of service, that have offered their help as whatever that they can do. And so now it's just like trying to take all these resources, getting them organized, just so this will be a smooth process. And obviously we'll have things to learn along the way, but I just want to make the most of these resources that we have, and just really get them out there. But I've gotten a lot of great feedback about this, especially from the sailors that feel like that no one sees them. And so I just want them to know that, hey, there are people at your command, and even the chiefs that want to help. But I'll also say this, that your chain of command, whether it be your LPO, your chief, your DIVO, people can only give you what they have. They can't give you what they don't have. So you're going up to them for advice about school, or your family, or just your career in general. Like, we try to give you what we have, but if we don't have it, we can't give it. And sometimes I think people think that, well, if my chief doesn't know this, then he's not a good chief, or if my devil doesn't know that, then they're not a good leader. And the truth of the matter is, we're all only just a combination of our own personal experiences. And so, if that person doesn't hadn't had the experience that you're looking for or trying to learn more about, go to the next person. Don't get deterred by the first no, or if things aren't going your way in one place, keep getting up and keep moving forward. I often tell people, fail forward. Just because you failed at something doesn't mean that it's not going to work out in your favor. At the end of the day, all roads lead to Rome. And what I mean by that is just that when whatever you're trying to do, understand that, you know what, your way and somebody else's way is a different way. And if you just want to kind of paint that picture in your head, you went to your first ship, you're at your first command. Everybody on your ship has a different life story, had a different background, different parents, different states, different, you name it. But somehow we've all found each other right here on the same command, on the same platform, but we did it 200 some odd different ways, but we're all here together. Some people might say that's just by chance, that might be divine intervention. But at the end of the day, we all figured out how to make it work to get here today. And that's kind of what I hold as far as like my personal life goals and ambitions. Just like, you know what, my way might not be like everybody else's. It's going to be unique to me, but trust and believe we're going to get there.
Absolutely. And I don't think that's talked about enough, how there are multiple ways to get a result. And I think that there are still people in the military who are very much like it, this is tradition, this is the one way we do it. And they're very much stuck in that way of thinking, which can create a bit of that toxic culture where people start to believe in their mind that there's only one way to do things. And that's when they get stuck in their own kind of mental cycle. So I'm glad you brought that up. But what you do, it is so needed in the Pensacola area. I went to A school in Pensacola, not Corey Station, the other one, the other training command. But
NAS.
yeah, yep. But I mean, it's such a unique place where sailors are just coming out of boot camp, and this is their first taste of what the Navy's like. And I, looking back, I really struggled mentally with that. This like large dose of freedom in Florida of all places, right? Like, I probably should have gotten in a lot more trouble than I did when I was in Florida, just because of the type of environment that it is. But I really think that you are in such a unique place and position to be in with what you're doing. So I appreciate it. Can you tell us how we can support you, where we can find you? What is it that you need right now that the listeners can maybe help out with?
I would say if you want to find me, or we have a new Instagram that's up. We haven't started posting yet. We will officially start posting on June 1st. But if you want to find me, if you want to help out, if you have a story that you want to share, or you feel like that there are things that we can do that you feel like we can that can help with bettering the personal health or mental health or personal development of a sailor, or you have a resource that you feel like you want to offer, you can email me directly at brandon@sailorwellness.com. Like I said, if you want to just follow and stay updated, our IG handle is at Sailor Wellness, and also on with TikTok as well. And that's probably be the two primary platforms that we're on. I realize that that's where most of my younger people are, and I understand like Facebook has kind of become a thing of the past now. So IG and TikTok, and like so we're gonna put I have a lot of informational type things out there. And if you need help with something, let us know. Like the only way we can help you is if you be honest with us and let us know. I take a chance on this. I promise you that I'm trying to go to work and do the work on your behalf. I know this isn't work that everyone wants to do, but I'm here. I'm ready to fight. And if there's anything that we can do, just let us know. So Brandon at sailorwellness.com, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Awesome. And then how much longer do you have active duty?
This year will be 18 years for me, so I have another two on the books, and then more than likely will be t retiring here at Corey Station. And so this is what they call the Twilight Tour. I did literally at 2005 up to now. I say it out loud. 2005, seems like it was just yesterday, but I look at the calendar and it tells a different story. So.
Well, awesome. So, if you're listening and you're active duty, you have someone on the active side that's fighting for you, at least active for 2 more years. Take advantage of that. We don't find a lot of that out there. So again, so appreciated what you do. To wrap this up, is there any last words that you want to leave the listeners with, Brandon?
Thank you for having me, Rachel. The last parting words, I would say that number one, whatever you're going through, understand that you're not alone. It might feel like it right now in the moment because the circumstances are mounted up against you. It feels like nobody understands, or you feel like you have a goal, you don't have it figured out, and because you don't fit have it figured out that it can't be done, or if you're trying to do something and you don't feel like you don't have enough money for it right now, and because you don't have the money, that means it's not for you. These things aren't true. I'm here to tell you that none of this stuff is true. And if there's anything that you're trying to do, or even if it feels like it's outside of your reach or your scope, keep working. Working at it, keep working at it, keep knocking on doors, keep asking for help. I know it might feel exhausting, it could be tiring, but keep working at it. I promise you, you keep planting these seeds, and then nothing but good things are going to come out of it, especially when you're trying to do your best. So keep working at it. And if there's anything that I could do to help you, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.